Good to see you this morning. All right. Thanks for coming and tuning in if you are. But we're going to be this morning in Exodus 14. Would you go back there? Exodus 14. And been praying about this message a little bit and working on it for a little while, about last couple of weeks or so, but just haven't really felt it'd be the right time yet. And then kind of working this past week on it, looking it over, and felt like the Lord kind of opened the door for me to bring it this morning. So I hope it'll be a blessing, a help to you. And Exodus 14, and the message this morning, what side of the sea are you on? As we think about, just to set kind of the context, you folks know your Bibles well, but the children of Israel come out of Egypt, you know that, and they come and they've had the Bible says, came out with a high hand out of Egypt. So they're doing well, and everyone's happy. The Egyptians have given them, remember, their earrings and their bracelets and their gold, everything. They have a massive amount of gold with them. They're feeling pretty good. The journey's a little bit tough, and yeah, okay, and the kids are lagging behind, and they're trying to help the elderly people, but boy, they're free. Finally, they're free. They have a great leader in Moses. They've just witnessed Moses' great power and might and empowering of the Holy Spirit with Pharaoh and all the miracles, you recall, that took place there in Egypt. So they're coming out feeling pretty good. They're going down. They made a tough journey. It's been a little while, you know, and they come down. They come to a dead end. And very interesting route if you study, but very interesting if you study the route they took, and you come down and they come to a dead end. Don't they? And they look and they see the sea in front of them. And behind them, they look back and they see Pharaoh's army. Now, they're between a rock and a hard place, aren't they? They are in a place that sometimes we feel like we are in. And you think about as they go forward, and notice verse 9, if you will, we'll jump down there. The Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, however you say that, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, noticed the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. As we stop there for a minute, isn't this just like Christians today? You think about this. They said, Moses, it was better that we lay and stay and serve in Egypt as slaves to the world, Egypt is a picture of the world, then come out here and die. You should have left us alone. We told you to leave us alone. Now later in the book of Isaiah, the same people, the children of Israel, say to basically Isaiah and to God himself, leave us alone. Tell the Holy One to leave me alone. I'm tired of it. I don't want to serve him. I don't want his convicting. I don't want his chastening. I don't want any of it. Leave me alone. You and I face these challenges every day. And the question this morning again is, what side of the sea are you on? Now as they come, and we'll read it in a minute, but chapter 15 is a clear hymn or song or psalm, however you want to say it, of the nation of Israel. Then they sang. Oh, then Moses and the children sang. Oh, God is so great. He's so wonderful. I'm so glad we serve him. Oh, I'm so glad that I stayed so faithful to God through all these years. Right? And then just, what, a few hours before, they were saying, oh, God, why are you doing this to me? Why? We're going to see, hopefully, next couple Sundays about what God and why God allows us to go through some of these things. Now, what side of the sea are you on? Notice a couple things off the bat. First of all, we must understand the Lord's objective in every one of his children's lives is always growth. Always. God never is satisfied, if you will. The Lord Jesus is never satisfied. The Holy Spirit's never satisfied with us being stagnant or us staying where we are. Or in the worst case, we go backwards. Now the nation of Israel, when they came and they saw Pharaoh's army behind them and the sea in front of them, they said, man, what do we do? Let's just run every man for himself. You know, bonsai, we're out of here. You know, get out of here. They didn't do that. Moses says, he says, would you, I won't say the word because we tell our kids not to say it, but hush up, be quiet and wait and see what God is going to do. Hush, listen. Notice verse 13. And Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, quit whining, quit complaining, and trust the Lord, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall hold your peace. Notice, close your mouth. Hold up. Be quiet. Trust the God. Now, this is something easy to say when we have a flat tire on the road. Oh, you know. But when you have Pharaoh's army coming to kill not only you, your kids, your family, your mother and father, you're scared to death. And you can imagine the fear of these people. But the Lord's objective is always growth. Now, we don't always understand that, do we? We don't always get it. For me, I don't understand that. But why would God allow us to go through something like that? Just for my growth? Is that important? To God, it is. And we saw that several months ago about what we can obtain through the crowns and through what he's trying to do for us. Now, I love the quote said once, he didn't bring you this far just to bring you this far. Isn't that? He didn't bring us this far as a church or as a person just to bring us this far. He didn't bring us this far just to, well, they did good. They started out there. Now they're in their office space. And I know they had plans and they were working on it, but it didn't work out. Oh, well, chalk it up as a failure. You know, well, they tried at least. I don't believe that. I think he brought us this far to bring us much farther. And he didn't bring you this far just to bring you this far, just to say, well, I'm done. Secondly, God never gives up on us, never gives up on his children, never gives up, never throws in the towel. The person that throws in the towel, the reason that people don't serve God like they once did is because of them. It's me. It's my fault. It's my fault. And so think about this. Thirdly, the growth you obtain, you know, should be the growth you retain. You hold on to. You hold on to. To grow, to build, and then let it go. That's not God's plan. So notice a few things here as we go through this chapter this morning. To look at, I don't know what side of the sea you are on. Hey, come on in. I don't know what side that or what you're dealing with today, but you could be on the side with Pharaoh and his army. You could be on the other side singing a song. But we know God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Now, notice, if you will, first of all, as they come through here, the first thing they do is what? In verse number 11, they jump right to the worst case scenario, don't they? They jump right to the worst case, which is death. They jump right to it, don't they? And they say, we're going to die. We're going to be killed, aren't we? Isn't that like me? A little bit of sign of trouble and it's, oh my goodness, we're all going to die. It's never going to work. And you know, the adversary does that, doesn't he? He loves to, and I hate to use the analogy, but he hops on your shoulder, you know, and tells you, it ain't going to work, is it? You're going to not make it. It's just too much, Tim. Just stop. Stop trying. And you think about it, then he'll bring people around you. I don't know, maybe one person stood up and said, hey, it ain't going to work. Moses, you brought us out here to die. And then everyone else chimed in. You know, oh, yeah, you're right. You're right. In fact, you know that usually the truth is always with the minority, right? It's with the smaller group. And they sent the 12 spies out. Well, who came back? There's only two of them that came back and said, we could do this. We could fight these guys. They're giants, though. They're going to kill us. No, God's fighting for us. And what happened? The majority convinced the majority, if you will. The minority here, if you will, thinking through. But you and I will jump to the worst case scenario. Know that that's not one of God, obviously, but it's not, secondly, of the Spirit. We know it's of our flesh. It's of us. What do we do? Don't jump to the worst case scenario. Come back to the Word of God. Again, we can't trust our own hearts in a lot of ways. We know that. We can't trust our own ideas and thoughts, feelings. We just can't do it. We just can't do it. We've got to come back to the truth, the plumb line, the word of God. Now, thinking through this, secondly, they note and say, somebody has to be blamed for my problem. They didn't say, well, it could have been me, it probably us. No, what do they do? Moses, it's your fault. You brought us out here, didn't you? We told you. In fact, that's a lie because they did not tell Moses that. They told Moses, hey, you can save us and take us out of here? Yeah, we'll do it. Okay, yeah. But what happens when you get into a dilemma or a problem? Here it comes. Here it comes. Oh, what a challenge to us. Challenge to everybody. In every relationship, we have to be cautious and careful. In marriage and in children and all of that, someone usually gets blamed, don't they? It's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. Whose fault is it? Let's blame somebody. It's the government's fault, isn't it? Yeah. And by the way, I hope we get our third check. I think it's coming. Our fourth check. I don't know what. No, I'm kidding. But it's somebody's fault. And you think through this. Just some things that I was reading and noticing here. What side are you on? What side of the sea are you on? Now, later, as you know this, we sing the song and we love singing. One of you love the song, Who's on the Lord's Side? I think it was Brother Asher, but we love to sing that song. Later, Moses has to literally come before the people and say, listen, what side are you on? Because you're not listening. You're not adhering. You're not making a stand for God. And there were people that were against, obviously, God and Moses. Now, notice there's a satisfaction of serving the world. Verse 12, did we not tell you, notice, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Again, later, they're going to come to Moses and say, Moses, we would have rather ate. We have the lemons and the watermelon and the leeks, the garlic, the fruit. Oh, yeah, but you were a slave. They forgot about that. Isn't that funny like us? We see, oh, yeah, but remember? It's so easy for us to look back, if you're like me, and remember all the problems, but you forget about the good stuff, don't you? You don't think about the good stuff. Oh, remember when we went through this and that? Yeah, but do you remember how God provided? Do you remember how you didn't have cancer and how He took care of you and all those things? And satisfaction of serving the world. I'd rather remain a slave than attempt stepping out by faith for the Lord. Oh, my friends, are you stepping out for Him? Rebuke. Notice the rebuke of the spiritual leader. He says, fear not, stand still and see the salvation. Three steps we should take when we're faced and we're between a rock and a hard place. You on this side, you have financial difficulties and problems. On this side, you have marital problems. On this side, it's just you're between a rock and a hard place. And we are all there often. We're all there sometimes. And you think about it. But he says three things. Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation. We fear not. We trust in Him. Don't trust in your circumstances. Don't trust in what your coworker tells you. Don't trust in the news media. Don't trust in these things. Trust in Him. And the only way you're going to get a strength, over a fear is you come to the Word. You spend time with Him. And then notice this, stand still. If you're like me, I try to make decisions or move or try and strategically place whatever you want to call it in my life during the worst time when I don't know what to do. Do you ever do that? I'm between a rock and a hard place. I'm between the sea and Pharaoh's army. Let's make a decision. No, don't make a decision. Don't make a decision. Stop. Stand still. Wait. Saturate yourself in the Word of God and in prayer and trusting Him and saying, God, what is it that you want me to do? Now, you know what to do. You have a leadership mentality. You have some things you already have in place. You know that. I know that I should do this financially. I know I should go here, da, 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 da. But that's the worst thing we can do. We stop and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, where should I go? What should I be doing? Thirdly, notice, see the salvation of the Lord. He's saying there's evidence, there's proof, and God will show you. Now, salvation, you know He's not talking in a soteriological sense of meaning the salvation that we obtain through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross and all of that. He's talking about the true, just being saved from danger, saved from problems. And so often we don't think about that. We miss that. God wants to save you from difficulty and problems. Now, you say, well, why would He allow me to go through that then? Because again, as we said, his objective for us is growth. It's always growth. But he does want to save you. He knows the temperature you can handle. His hand is, again, we say often, his hand is on the thermostat. He knows where you can handle. He knows your talents. People, you get something, somebody asks you to do something, you go, that's not my talent, I can't do that. Well, trust the Lord and ask him what he wants you to do, because he may be trying to build or grow your talent. But he knows where you are. He knows what you can handle. He knows how maybe extroverted or introverted you are. He knows what you can do. But he says, fear not, stand still, and then see the salvation. See the salvation. Now, notice this, though, I found so interesting. He says at the end of verse 13 there, ye shall see them again when? No more forever. No more forever. Now think about that. He doesn't say you'll see him again sometime. You may see him down the road. No, listen. For me, I put here, no turning back. No turning back. You must make a commitment to Christ and a commitment to him. I am not turning back. I will not go back. I will not give up. I'll not throw in the towel. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to serve him. Yeah, but look how difficult it is. Look how foolish you are. You're standing on the shore of the Red Sea, about ready to get killed by Pharaoh's. Look how foolish you are. That's what the world does. They say, look how foolish, and I won't use the term, you are. And we sometimes stand there and you go, you look at your circumstances. And you go, they're right. I am a fool. I mean, I look like an absolute fool to the world. Again, take your eyes off these circumstances. Come back to the book. And look to him. Fear not, stand still, and then see the salvation of God. No turning back. You'll see him no more forever. Now, will they encounter more enemies of different kinds and caliber in the future? Absolutely. They'll go through with Joshua, and they'll cross over the Jordan. They'll go in the first place as Jericho, one of the biggest fortified cities, huge walls. And they say, what do we do? Climb the walls? We have nothing to... No, he says, march around it. March around it. What is that going to do? Just do what I tell you. Okay. I'll follow the word of God. I'll do what you tell me to do. He says, God will fight for you. God will fight for you. Verse 14. The Lord shall come. He'll fight. And ye shall hold your peace. When you see God fight for you, you're going to hold your peace. I love that. So many I read it last night as I was going through my Bible reading in 2 Corinthians. What's he say? Casting down imaginations and all of that. But before that, he says, the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal. It's not this. Con tu boca. I've been trying to learn Spanish. With the mouth. No. It's what? Him. It's not carnal. It's not those things. It's spiritual. God is in control. God is working. He says, fear not. Don't turn back. God will fight for you. God will fight for you. And then go forward. Go forward. Verse 15, notice this. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they what? Go forward. There's our, what we started out on, our premise here this morning of God's desire for you is to grow and to go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Take a step of faith. Now for us, we think God desires giant leaps and bounds. The Olympics are coming up, and you've seen that. They run real fast, and they do the hop, the skip, and the hop, and then the jump. And they do their, man, they can go far, can't they? Land in the sand. I saw something just the other night. It was funny. It wasn't very funny to the lady, but she was running, and this lady was looking at her phone, and she crossed, looking at her phone, walked over, and the girl just plowed her over. Boom! And it hurt the girl in a big controversy or something. But I thought, man, they do that, don't they? Hop, and the skip, and the jump, and they do... We think about that sometimes. God says, well, Tim, take a step forward. Lord, I can't jump from here to there. I can't do it. He says, no, ding dong, I want you to take one step. Okay, I can do that. Thy word is a what? Lamp unto my what? Feet. And the lamp, you know, the lamps they used then would only shine about a foot, 2 foot in front of it. That's all you could see. It wasn't a spotlight. You know, one of those flashlights they have on TV that you can shine, you know, light up a whole house. No, it was a lamp. And he's saying what? The word helps you to take one step at a time. One small step for man, one giant leap. I won't go there. For mankind. But you think about the steps he wants you to take. I love the quote here. Take a step forward and keep moving, even if it's just inches. Just inches. Take a step forward. Well, did you make a step forward today? Yeah, it was just about 2 inches, but that's progress. Keep moving forward. The world, notice, let me hasten here. The world's in darkness. The children of God are walking in light. Now, Moses lifts up the rod, 16, and the sea divides and begins to divide. And verse 17, Egyptians' hearts are hardened again. They follow after them. Again, notice God's in control here. But he's doing all of this for the growth of the nation of Israel. And they shall know that I am the Lord, verse 18. Verse 19, and the angel of the Lord, which went before the camp of Israel, notice, removed and went before behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near other all the night. Now, isn't that interesting? The angel came, a cloud, a pillar of a cloud, you could imagine almost looking like a tornado, if you will, came down. To the Egyptians, it was darkness. To the children of God, it was light for them to travel at night, to move about, to do what they needed to do. And a great picture of this is that the world's in darkness. You know that. The children of God should be walking in light, should be walking in the light of the Word and the light of life. Paul later will say all of that, the book of Ephesians and Colossians, that we're the children of light. We ought to walk in light. We ought to walk, meaning we ought to have a knowledge and an awareness of what's going on around us. We know what's happening. We know God's in control. We can see it and we can do it. You ever tried to walk in the night or in pitch darkness? It's a frightful thing. You don't know what you're going to hit, step on, or stub your toe. And I said before, but Spurgeon said that the child of God has an incredible ability to walk in the dark with infallible accuracy. We walk in the darkness of this world, but with accuracy. We know where we're going. We know what's going on. We understand that. And we trust the Lord in all of that. So we see here that the children of Israel walk forward. They go forward. And we'll see some things, hopefully, again, next week as they come, that they cross over, you know, and they come to chapter 15. And the Lord closes the sea upon Pharaoh's army. And by the way, today I've got some videos that you gave me as well about that. Very interesting how they found chariot wheels and other things at the bottom of the Red Sea and all of that. But just thinking through some of the evidence there. But chapter 15, they sing a song. They sing a song. Oh, the Lord is gracious. Horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea. I don't know the tempo or the tune to this song, but we're going to hear it again in heaven, by the way. And but all of that. But the which side of the sea are you on today? You on this side? It's tough. It's difficult. What do I do? Stand. Fear not. Stand still and wait for the salvation of God. God will save you. He'll take care of you. I like the three Hebrew children. He brings them up. Nebuchadnezzar, come up here. Why don't you bow before the great golden image? Well, we won't bow, yada, yada, yada. And then they say this, God will deliver us, but if he doesn't deliver us, know this, O king, will not serve you. People say, oh, they're doubting God's salvation. No, they're trusting God's providence. They're trusting God's control. And they're saying, if God wants to deliver us, he'll deliver us. If he doesn't decide to deliver us, fine with us. Know this, we still serve God. He's in control. It's his prerogative. He'll take us to heaven. That's the kind of mentality we ought to have. God's promises, we'll see a little bit hopefully next week with Joshua. Joshua, he says to Joshua in chapter 1 of Joshua, that I will be with you. Be of good courage. This is all before all the battles and campaigns they're going to go through. Before it, God says, be of good courage. Before the challenges, God says, I'll be with you. Before the heartache and pain, before your whatever relationship falls apart, before you go through those difficulties financially or through a medical problem or through when the cancer comes in elderly age or whatever it would be, you already know the promises of God and you're trusting him on this side. And you don't have to wait till this side to sing the praises of God. On this side, you can say, the Lord, I'll sing unto the Lord. He hath triumphed gloriously. He has triumphed gloriously. Turn with me here. Let's begin to close her out here to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, just over a little bit there. Deuteronomy chapter 20. And notice this again with me. This is the Lord again speaking to the nation of Israel, to the children of Israel, to Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 20, notice this again. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies, and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, again he's reminding them of Egypt, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be, when ye are come nigh into the battle, that the priests shall approach and speak unto the people, and say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Notice, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that, what? Goeth with you to fight with you against your enemies to save you. There it is again. There it is again. And the quote I often have or say here, it's been said before, but peace is not found in the absence of trouble, but in the presence of God, right? Peace is not found when there's no problems and everything's fine and everyone's doing good and the kids are healthy and everything's going. No, it's found in the presence of God. And that's what he says. When you go out to battle, before, know this, I'm with you. Doesn't it remind you of Matthew when Jesus says, he says there that take my yoke upon you, meaning yoke up with Jesus. He'll be there with you step for step in everything you do, and he'll help you and guide you, and it's time we ought to take him up on his word. God, I'm ready and I'm willing. I'm ready and willing. Again, another portion would be Numbers chapter 13 and 14, but he makes mention of this same thing. And we don't step out by faith based upon what we see and based upon what we hear, because he says they're going to say things against you. You're going to see that they're bigger than you. They're mightier than you. The spies come back and say, we're but grasshoppers in their sight. He says you don't step out by faith based on those, but based upon the promises of the Word of God. And the Lord says you've got to either trust me and what I say or not. You be the judge of that. We must be led of the Spirit. We must be trusting Him. We can take and use the Word of God and make it say anything we want it to say, but we take Him for His Word. Listen to a couple verses here and I'll close out. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 31:24, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Now notice that. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord. This is before the problem. This is before the heartache. And what side are you on today? What side of the sea? You don't have to wait to get over to this side. You don't have to wait to see the army, the sea close back upon the army and destroy them. You don't have to wait for that. You can praise God on this side. Jacob assumed the demise of him and his family. You remember he came and he prayed and he wrestled with the Lord. And he assumed the demise as he went to meet Esau, and he said, he's going to kill us, he's going to destroy us, and I know it, but I'm going to go forward anyways because it's the right thing to do. I need to reconcile with my brother. And yet, he came before Esau, and what happened? He got a big old hug, didn't he? I'm sorry too, I wanted to meet up with you. Peter and the apostles, on that evening, they sat in that upper room and they were weeping and crying and sad. They just took their Savior and killed Him. And yet here comes the Savior and stands in the midst of them. And the Savior had come and there was victory over death. There's so many examples we could use. Jacob would later mourn and assume the death of his beloved son, the one that he loved and gave the coat to and all of that. Oh, he was torn and rent by a lion. Only yet he didn't know Joseph was what? The ruler of the most powerful nation at that time, or would later become. You know, we think about that. You're on this side and what you can see in your circumstances and all that's around you. And if you're like me, I go, this ain't working. Man, it's not going to happen. Lord, why? But you don't know that God's at work for your growth, and His desire for you and for me is growth. He desires for us to grow. And then beyond that, He desires to give us all the treasure, to give us all that we could ever ask, and then beyond that. Bring your requests before God, Paul will later say, and we'll look at later. Give your heart to Him. but pray and ask and make your request be made known unto God, and the what? Peace of God. It doesn't say God gives you what you want at that moment and gives you every desire of your heart and answers your prayer immediately. What's it say? The peace comes before the answer to prayer, or before you see the outcome. The peace comes. That's what we want, isn't it? The peace knowing, fear not, stand still, and wait for God to save you. See the salvation of God. We often go, if you're like me, to other avenues of salvation, other areas of other people to help us and guide us and fulfill and get through the problem and get through the difficulties instead of waiting on Him. This morning, what side of the sea are you on? If you're on this side, you can sing by the promises of God, and according to the promises of God, you can sing the song of Moses. You can sing the praises of God. Yeah, but man, I don't see any outcome coming out. This doesn't look good. Yeah, according to the promises of God, you can serve Him. Have the peace of God. Have the peace of God. You know, for me, the peace comes when the prayer is answered, when the problem dissolves and goes away. Oh, peace. Oh, that feels so good. It finally got over with that. That's not the Bible standard. The Bible is in the midst of the problem, in the midst of the difficulty, in the midst of your turmoil, you say, God, help me. I'm giving my request to you, making my request known unto you. And then the peace comes, and that's what I want. If you decide to save me from the fire, or if you don't decide to save me from the fire, know this, O King, I will not bow before your God. I will not. I will not serve this world. I'll serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll stay true to Him. I said last week, maybe God will allow you to go through the fire. Maybe He'll allow you to be between a rock and a hard place so that He can prove to the people that threw you into the fire that He is God, that He is all-powerful. Maybe He'll allow you to go through that time. And they did for a time serve God, and that generation saw the miracles and power of God. Later, we know they'll fall away from the Lord because, I believe, they did not get to witness and see all the power of God in the between this rock and a hard place. What side of the sea are you on this morning? Know that God's for you. He desires your growth, and you can have the peace of God today if you trust Him and take Him at His word. Okay, I'll stop there. Let's pray. Lord, again, we praise You and thank You for time to look at Your word and prayer. Prayerfully look at a little bit more, Lord, next week as we follow this and look at the line of thinking and the word of God, that You desire victory for us. You desire peace in our hearts that does pass understanding, that people look at and say, how can you have peace when you're going through such turmoil, when you're going through such difficulty, when you're challenged with so many things? How can you have the peace of God? And Lord, we desire to be what You want us to be. We praise and thank You for the great examples that You've given to us in the Old Testament, especially here in this, as they were between a angry and a defying, God-defying army. And they were between a sea, and they had nowhere to go but to look to You. And the great spiritual leader told them to fear not, stand still, and wait for the salvation of God. Help us to do so. How we love and thank You, God, again, for this day. In Jesus' precious name, we pray all this, and amen.